Kiddushin Yerushalmi, corresponding to Kiddushin Bavli, Daf Yud Ches. We're in the Yerushalmi, on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the second line with the words Asher Lo Ya'ada. Asher Lo Ya'ada, V'hifta. The Pasuk says in Shmois, in Perchof Aleph, Pasuk Ches, if the master did not designate it for himself, he shall help her to achieve redemption. Now, Malamed, we learn from this pasuk she'ene miyadoloi ad shehei b'yom kedei leftoisa uv maasi odea shavaputa uv giruea shavaputa divu Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. We learn from here that he can't designate her into marriage unless there's time left before the end of her servitude, meaning either that the acquisition money was reduced to no less than a shavaputa, or there's still time for her to earn a putta, thereby allowing her to redeem herself. And this was said by Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim, though, he can continue to designate her even until sunset of the last day of her servitude, because they hold that she's betrothed with the original money that was received for her, even at this point, when there's no money left. It doesn't make a difference, because it's not the money now that's going to betroth her, but rather the money that was originally given when she was bought. Amr b'chia ba'ada hakol moedim be'eved ivri ad shehei sham shavaputa. Rabbi Chiya bar Ada says, though, all agree that if there's less than a shavaputa left, a Jewish slave cannot be redeemed with Goron Kesev. And the Gemara asks, yes, that sounds correct. Why did the Chum not agree to this? Am Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, ma'atay medrabonon, Kesev einkan, ma'asi adayim einkan, b'mehu miyado. And the answer is, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says, the Chachamim's reasoning is that there's no money left, and she can't earn any money, so with what now can he designate her? Amr b'Zeira, he answers the question, Miyad b'Drom, he can designate her with mere words. We now bring a b'Risa, Tani b'Hoshia, Hoshia brings a b'Risa, Kesa to Miyado, how does he go about designating her? What does he need to say? Oy mela b'fnei shnayim, hoi at miyu edesli, he says in front of two people, behold, you are designated to me. Al daita to Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, b'soif noisin la kesev li'yud. According to Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, he gives them money for the designation at the end. According to the Chachamim, her father gave the money at the very beginning, which would then be eventually for yield. The Gemara asks, "Mai nafkami beinei haim?" Where would there be a practical difference between these two opinions? And the answer is, "Maase yodeha, her earnings." Manda amar b'soif nosan la kesev liyudim, maase yodeha shel baila. Manda amar b'shash rishoina nitin kesev shel yudim, maase yodeha shel avia. According to Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, her earnings will go to her husband. But according to the Chachamim, her earnings from the sale until the designation will not go to her husband, but rather to her father. And the Gemara rejects this. Afilu kamanda am mishar rishoina nitin kesev liyudim, mas yodeh shal baila, nasi ka'im ele isha hawayet mekudesh esli, amanas shemase yodayich sheli. Means even according to the Chachamim, her earnings go to the husband, because as if he said to her, behold, you are betrothed to me on condition that your earnings are mine. Now the practical difference would be if the master was married to the maidservant's sister and then the sister died. According to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, he would not need there to give other betrothal money, but according to the Chachamim, he would have to give other money. And the Gemara rejects that as well. No, afilu kamanda ama b'seif niten kesev liyudim sicha kesev acher. Even according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, he must give her other money as well, because all agree that an act of betrothal does not take effect with a close relative like his wife's sister. According to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, all of these cases of yield of designation are fully comparable to regular cases of kiddushin, and therefore, just as if a man gives his sister money for kiddushin, she would not be betrothed, but she keeps the money as a gift, so too here for the case of yield designation. Am Rabbi Avun, Asya Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Krib Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Avun tells us that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar that we're going to see now in a b'risa. The Tani, as the b'risa teaches, בפיקודן שיש לי בידייך, והולכו מצלסוס הניק שנגנב או שעובד, היא נשתה שם שווה מקודשס, ואם לאו אינה מקודשס. If a man would say to a woman, you're betrothed to me with my deposit that you possess, if she then discovered that it was stolen or lost, as long as a putter of it still remains, she is betrothed, she's mekudeshes. But if a man says to a woman, you're betrothed to me with the money that I lent you, even if she then discovers that it was stolen or lost, even if a putter does not remain, she's still mukudeshes. Milva kepikadoin in mishtar shom shavaputa mukudeshes v'imlav enim mukudeshes. Rav Shimon Elazar, quoting Rav Meir, disagrees and he says a loan is the same as a deposit, meaning the putta has to remain in order for her to be mukudeshes. And the Gemara concludes: Kamada Rav Shimon Elazar avid milva kepikadoin, kein Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda avid yeudim kemilva. Just as Rav Shimon Elazar equated a loan with a deposit, so Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda equated designation yield with the case of a loan, meaning that a putter must remain in order for the yield to take effect. We now move on to talk about yield with the son of the master. We quote first the pasuk in Shemois in Perkhof Aleph in pasuk Tes ve'im levenoi yi'adena levenoi yi'adena ve'in mi'ado la'achiv. We learn from the pasuk, and if he shall designate her to his son, that he can only designate her to his son, but he cannot designate her to his brother. V'yedena la'achiv mikavachoyma, asks the Gemara though, that surely we should use the kavachoyma to prove that he can also designate her to his brother. Ma im haben she'eno kam tachtav l'chalitza o li'yibum ha'yum ma'adaloi, achiv she'u kam tachtav l'chalitza li'yibum eno din she'adaloi. If a son cannot replace his father by performing chalitza or yibum, but he can nevertheless designate his father's maidservant, then certainly his brother, who can take his place in order to perform chalitza or yibum, should certainly be able to designate his brother's maidservant. The Gemara rejects that lo yamamalt beben shu kam tachtov steachuza tem beachiv she'enoi kam tachtov steachuza dinu she'adena loy. No, a son replaces his father as owner of the ancestral field, but a brother does not. And since we find that stringency in the son that's absent in the case of the brother, the kavachoyme is disproven. And that's why, Talmud Lomer, we have to bring the pasuk, v'im levnoyu adena, levnoyu miyado, v'en miyado leben benoy. The pasuk therefore teaches, and if he shall designate her to his son, this teaches that his son can do yid, but not, in fact, his grandson. And the Gemara asks, Shmuel bar Abba by Kaim Rabbi Zeira. Shmuel bar Abba asked the question of Rabbi Zeira, but Pashas Nachlois ata Avid ben ben keben, Bahacha leisat Avid ben ben keben. Why is it that in the matter of inheritance, a grandson is like a son, but not over here? And Rabbi Zeira, Manda Amali had a milsa, Ana Mashkile Kundatun. Rabbi Zeira said, I will serve Kundatun, which is a wine mixed with honey and pepper, to whoever can answer this question. Even in the case of the ancestral fields, the Torah treats a brother and other relatives like a son, means if he die without children, his brother or another relative will inherit him. And this would therefore also include his grandson. But over here, in the case of Yud, neither a brother nor other relatives are like a son, so a grandson is also not like a son. Mesivin Rabbanon de Kisrin. Rabbanon de Kisrin asked the question: Hari Pashas Atumma, Hari Asisa Ach Keben, Bishakola Koivim Keben, Veinat Oise Ben Ben Keben. Well, in the matter of a Koin becoming impure to his relatives, a brother and other relatives are like a son, but a grandson is not like a son. So that contradicts the answer that you gave. And the Gemara concludes with that Amrin Azil Kundatin. The Kundatin that Reb Zeira would have served to Reb Tanchum has gone. The Gemara now continues on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, the second last line. V'im levenoi ya'adena leda'as. The Braisa teaches us that if he shall designate her to his son, we learn from here that there has to be consent. Amr Rabbi Yochanan leis kan leda'as. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says no, even without consent, the son can perform yield. Amr Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha iskan k'Rav Yosi b'Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha told us that the ruling of this Braisa is valid. It follows the opinion of Rav Yosi b'Rav Yehuda that we saw earlier, means that if he gives the money for the designation at the end, meaning that he did not originally consent to the designation and must consent to it at the end. Amr Rav Shmuel bar Avudama afilu teima iskan k'Rav Yosi b'Rav Yehuda v'leikotanhu v'im lebnoi yadena ledas. Even according to Rav Yosi b'Rav Yehuda, the Braisa seems to be referring to the consent of the son, though. However, yud can be done even with the master's son who is still a child and cannot give his consent, and therefore the Braisa cannot require the consent of the son. Rav Yochanan Omar, Miyado ben levnei godol, ben levnei koton, ben ledas, ben shloi ledas. Rav Yochanan says, though, the master may designate it to his son, even if he is a child and there's no need to have consent. Shimon ben Lakish Omar Eina Miyada El Lebnei HaGadol Vovad Ladas. Shimon ben Lakish says he may only designate it to his adult son, and there must be consent. We now quote a Baisa, Ben Teisha Shonim V'yoyim Echad Oise Almano L'Koyin Gadol Gush V'Chalutz L'Koyin Hedyot. If you have a 9-year-old boy, he can make his wife a widow so she can no longer marry a Koyin Gadol, and if he divorced her or his wife performed Chalitza with one of his brothers, she can no longer marry a Koyin. We now learn the extra piece of text that the Korbanader adds. Al daitu du b'yechonon duhu pata le b'yudin, nicha, yudin shesh loi kinyon ba, oise amon l'koin godol, ugush v'chalutza l'koin hedyud. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who allows Yud with the son of the master, even though he is young under Bar Mitzvah, we therefore find the Torah allows a boy to marry. And if so, the Brisa before refers to marrying his father's maidservant through Yud, thereby disqualifying her from marrying a Kohen Gadol if he would die, and from marrying a regular Kohen if he divorces her or if he performed Chalitza. Al-Daita du Shimon ben Lakish du Patala ben Nisuin te Patur min ha-Chalitza min ha-Yibim. But the question is, though, according to Shimon ben Lakish, since the child cannot do Yid, the Braisa must be referring to a marriage to Rabbanon. If so, she should be exempt from Chalitza and from Yibim. V'taninan, and we can prove this from a Mishnah in Yevamos, Nasa Isha Umeis Harezu Patur min ha-Chalitza min ha-Yibim. If a 9-year-old boy married and then died, his wife would be exempt from Chalitza and from Yibim with her husband's brother. Amar Rabun comes to answer the question, Asya Dushim Ben Lakish, Krib Yosef of Yehuda, Rushim Ben Lakish must follow the opinion of Yosef of Yehuda in the Baisa. And the Baisa says to Tani, Ben Tesha Shonim V'yem Echad, Va'ad Ben Shtemese Shonim V'yem Echad, Shehevi Shtei Saras, Harei Zu Shumma. If a boy between the ages of 9 and 12 had two pubic hairs, which would usually be a sign of adulthood, they are assumed to have come from a wart and is not considered to be an adult. This is the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer, Harei Elu Simonim. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says no, they are already viewed as signs of adulthood, of physical maturity. Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabun b'shem Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Ve'en sha'am duboy b'shas Simonim. Rabbi Yaakov ben Rabun, quoting Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, said that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's opinion only applies when the hairs continue to be there after he turned 12. So Rabbi Yosef raised the question of Yosef boy, if those hairs continue to be there after he turned 12, is he considered to be a man from when they grew, or from when he actually turned 12? Amalei Rabbi Abun, Rabbi Abun came to answer that question as well. Certainly, it goes from when they grew, and continues as well after he became 12, he also considered to be an adult. The Patale Hadat Rav Shimon Lakish Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. Rav Avon has established that Rav Shimon ben Lakish is holding the opinion of Rav Yosef ben Yehuda. Asks the Gemara, "Belama leis Rav Yosef Patale Hadat Rav Shimon Lakish Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda? Why did Rav Yosef not agree that we can answer that Rav Shimon Lakish follows the opinion of Yosef Rav Yehuda?" And furthermore, it's clear that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds that a child who brought the two hairs is already considered to be an adult. Otherwise, Shimon Lakish will have a problem with the Baisa. And the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Mana, Duhu tzrichele Rabbi Yosef boy, koimu amdoi boy b'shah simonim lefeyo hu nase ish oimikan lahabo. And the answer is, Rabbi Yosef's doubt is in fact, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, that if the hairs continue to be there after he turned 12, is he considered to be a man from when they grew or from when he turned 12? Nicha Amon of Agusha. Now the conclusion is, according to Rabbi Yochanan, we can explain that the case of the widow was that he did yield with her and then he died. But how could there be a case of a divorcee if Rabbi Yochanan says that we're referring to a child? How could a child give a get? And the Gemara answers, Tipata Shibalea Meshehigdil Nasan La Get. He only had relations with her when he was a child, and after he became an adult, he then gave her a get. And asked the Gemara Chalitza, what about the case of Chalitza in the Baisa? Why? Because the Gemara is assuming that the Braisa means if the child did Chalitza, the Yevama becomes a Chalutza. This is a question according to Rabbi Yochanan, because the Chalitza of a child actually doesn't do anything at all. And the Gemara answers, Tipata Sheba Alea, Umeis, Becholtzav Achim, Val Yadam, He Nasis Chalutza. The case is when he had relations with her and then he died, and one of his brothers then performed Chalitza with her, and this is the way that she could become a Chalutza. Ask the Gemara Me'ata, Afilu Pochus Me'ben Teisha. If that's the case, the Braisa is referring to Yud, why do we have to be talking about a 9-year-old boy, even if he was younger than 9, the same din should apply? Answers the Gemara, Amr of Shmuel Bar Avudama, Vekini, Elebegain, Detani Kulhoin, Teisha, Tana Oiv Hadar, in Mahoin. That's correct. It really could be talking about a boy under 9, but the other laws there only apply to a 9-year-old, and that's why we speak about 9-year-olds here as well. Rav Yehuda ben Pazi, b'shem Rav Shua ben Levi, me achaz lamad Rav Yosi ben Yehuda. Rav Yehuda ben Pazi, quoting Rav Shua ben Levi, said that Rav Yosi ben Yehuda, who learned his opinion from achaz, that we see by achaz, he was a 9-year-old boy and he had a child. The Tani, because we learn in the Brisa, achaz hoilid ben Tesha, v'haron ben Chesh, v'kalev ben Esa. Achaz had a child when he was 9, Haron had a child when he was 6, and Kalev had a child when he was 10. Ukamanda Amar hu Kalev ben Chetzoin hu Kalev ben Yefuneh. And this follows the view that Kalev ben Chetzoin is the same person as Kalev ben Yefuneh.